From Studio Live in the beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Our hope is to encourage you to explore your own Edible Valley. On this episode, we're doing things different. We got a few pros in with us.
We have Gaetan Polardi and Leslie Stav. Both have been on the show multiple times. Thanks for coming back. And we're talking about organization that you're both involved with, Les Dames d'Escoffier.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you. Maybe we could start there. Maybe you could start by giving us a little bit of an overview of what that is.
Okay. Les Dames d'Escoffier is an organization who exists since about 30 years, and it is composed of women working in the hospitality, culinary, wine, writing about food industry, mm-hmm. and is to help to promote the understanding of the food industry
right.
among the public and education and all that, and also to support women working in that field. And in one of the ways is doing a lot of fundraising who goes for education.
It is an international organization. It was right. actually started in the States. It's now there's chapters in Mexico, Canada, and
wow.
the States.
Here in BC, although the organization is 30 years, almost at the beginning there was one BC chapter,
oh,
which
wow.
was at the beginning mostly based in Vancouver, but it's good that it always not been called Vancouver chapter. It's always
right.
been called BC chapter, and it grew from members just of the Vancouver area to now a member of the chapters in the Okanagan,
oh, yeah.
On Vancouver Island in the Victoria area, and here on the North Island.
Right. Wow.
So we didn't have to change, like in the States, it's like usually the name of a town, like San Francisco
oh, right.
chapter, New York chapter. Here it's always, I guess they had a vision. and now it's great that it's all over the province. And,
right.
Yeah.
And this is the only chapter in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, which is actually very cool
when
yeah. you think about it. There's a lot of reasons behind that. But
interesting.
Yeah, the fact that BC is the only one.
I want to just backpedal a bit just because I didn't know very much about it. And I thought that I should be a bit abreast of just the general basics of it. This is what we found, and you absolutely can jump in and correct us or add more detail. But it's named after Escoffier, who was
yep.
a French
chef.
A French
yeah.
chef yeah. and food writer or a no. author of some sort?
But he wrote some books that
right.
are important for chefs. And,
okay.
and he was from France, but he was most likely he ran the Ritz-Carlton in London.
Right.
And he was one who kind of was the first one to organize kitchen the way large kitchens
right.
are organized.
He really influenced the way that large-scale kitchens now operate.
Exactly.
Definitely
exactly.
He kind
exactly.
of set
the brigade.
Yeah. The mother, the five mother sauces are
exactly.
kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. And then from that he wrote, yeah, his
right.
repertoire and that all cooks.
Kind right.
of. Actually, I learned an interesting one from him just reading today. It was William II said, mm-hmm. I may be the emperor of Germany at the mm-hmm. time, but he's like, but you are the emperor of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then
when
yeah.
Les Dames d'Escoffier was started, at that time, a lot of organizations were really, in the culinary world, really men-oriented.
Right.
And it was kind of a response to that they say, okay, there's a lot of women working in that field and having leadership position and all that.
Right.
And they say, we're going to call it Les Dames d'Escoffier.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I saw the, we saw a little interview with Carol
Brock, who is the, who is, I guess, she was on the video on the site saying mm-hmm. how she mm-hmm. started it.
Thanks. Yeah, and we saw that how she had started it and just the disparity there. At the time, even though women were expected to, like, this is back, what I want to say 50s, but she said the expectation was that the women were, every woman knew how to cook, but it was at home and they weren't
yeah.
allowed to have any
yeah.
positions of leadership or
yeah.
or whatever in the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
was a response
yeah.
to that.
Yeah. And one member that passed away since then that everybody knows is Julia Child was a member of Les Dames d'Escoffier.
Oh, yeah, so, right. absolutely, yeah. right.
And really, it's much more than just being in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Many members are, they're business owners. Mm-hmm. a lot of them, especially in BC. Yeah, a lot of women business owners. And they're in the media, they're in the more the wine end of things, the writing, food science. It's a huge, huge category that you can come in under as far as women in the industry. But basically, the bottom line is that they have an interest in what you're ingesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So how did the two of you, I know you came into it individually at different times, but how did you get involved?
For us, both of us are chefs, so we came from the culinary world, and myself, I joined when I was in Vancouver, working in for the Fairmont Hotel in a large kitchen, and at that time, there was not many women chefs in the organization, and I joined at that time, and it was, over the years, it was good for me. It's a lot also a networking organization, and really, I remember, like, I end up to be teaching cook training program, and it was one time after a function of Les Dames, one lady was the food and beverage at VCC. She said, "Why there's no women teaching?" And I said, "Yeah, that's why. Why there's not?" Right. And then from there, it's like, in a way, it kind of inspired me to go after in teaching and all.
Oh, wow.
That. So, and then it is an organization that people are member by invitation.
Okay.
So it's not people who apply and all that.
Right.
And when I moved to the island, there was very few women on the island. And then I looked around, and then I met Leslie, and we're both member of the North Island Chef Association. And I say, well, this is a person who can bring things to the organization.
Right.
And also, so we sponsor people to, we invite them, and then the membership committee accept.
And before even I became a member or sponsored as a member, I actually had a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
They helped to pay for some of my courses for my teaching diploma.
Oh, wow.
So I actually was an original scholarship recipient, which very often is how people come into it originally.
Wow. And so what now, what does the organization do aside from, you did say that it's a great networking and, you know, it brings in other people of similar interest?
The Green Tables and Growing Chefs has grown out of this. It's a very big piece of what Les Dames does, especially in Vancouver.
Okay.
So a lot of the people there, there are funds put aside for that. And if the most of the fundraising is for scholarships, but there's also a big component that goes towards Growing Chefs and Green Tables and bringing that into especially some of the inner schools and that sort of thing.
Can we explain those two, the Green Table and the...
Green Table I'm not as familiar with, but Growing Chefs, yes, absolutely. It's going into grade 3, I believe, and usually there's... we did it on the North Island, 3 or 4 years ago,
right.
And we expanded it because Growing Chefs sounds very limiting, but I know that we've said, well, we have apprentices that are actually apprenticing in farms and stuff like that. We have other teachers in other areas that want to come into the schools and teach students about growing things and also about what to do with them once you've grown them.
Oh, wow.
This is an offshoot of that program. So usually it's 3 people who are interested in bringing this information to that demographic, and they come in the spring and they actually grow things in the classroom
with the kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
It's been done at the Cumberland School.
Yes.
At the Royston School.
Royston and
Rob Road. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually the first ones on the island.
We were a pilot project.
We were a pilot project.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. In Vancouver, I think it was nice to do it here, but what they found was a lot of the students actually knew a lot about food.
Oh, yeah?
Surprisingly. And I think it was because the schools that were chosen, they were already on board. They still benefited from it, but I think that when they put it in the downtown east side, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck because those kids really don't have access to anything like that. So that's one of the big programs that they help support.
Wow.
They do a gala once a year where they honor a culinary icon in the industry. This happens in the fall. It's also a fundraiser towards scholarship. This year, it's actually my mentor, which is Bruno Marti, which is kind of exciting for me.
Right.
I will be involved in that.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That's great.
For anyone who doesn't know who he is, could you?
He was the first person that was involved with the Team Canada for the first gold medal that Canada ever got in 88. And he has been either on or behind pretty much every team since then. And actually, I believe he first started in 84.
He's pretty much molded Canada's culinary scene.
Considered the godfather of Canadian culinary.
Pretty amazing man, actually, for what he's done.
Yeah, we had the honor of hosting him a couple of years ago when we had a special function done by young chef visiting the Comox Valley, and then he came to attend.
So the scholarship piece is we've had... It's you do not have to be a member, first off. You do have to be female.
Right.
You're out, Darren.
Yeah, sorry, Darren. That's it. But there is such a wide cross-section of scholarships that are available. And some of them are set where Le Dame members have canvassed various schools and things like that where it's a set thing. And some of them are simply you apply if you have an interest. And both Gaetan and I are on the scholarship committee.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen over the years everything. Usually it's half what I would classify as non-culinary.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting their sommelier papers. I know that there's several levels.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're front of house.
Right.
For example, you know, Tina, well, that's actually one of the things that she went after.
Oh, wow.
When she got her scholarship, she got her first and second level, I think, for sommelier.
Really?
Yeah. So you what it does is it opens the doors to a lot of different things. You do not have to be a young person. I was definitely well over 50 when I got my scholarship.
Wow.
It's open that way. Anything that is going to expand your knowledge in the industry almost qualifies.
Wow.
You know, anything from a structured program to help for going to see something, to be involved in something that you wouldn't normally be able to do.
That's fantastic.
As I said, for me, it wasn't culinary training I was taking at all. I was doing my teaching diploma so that I could teach culinary. But so if you were just going after...
Still within.
You're still broadening the culinary world.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's nice that way because it's not in a little box.
Yeah.
I know when we're talking to people about applying, we can, you know, give them guidelines and ideas. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm mentored, Gaetan has mentored several people from the North Island, and they have been very successful.
Wow.
And everything from, as I said, the straight culinary thing to something that's a little bit different.
I'm always amazed with scholarships, and maybe it's just being on and doing bursaries and being on some committees with the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association, how much money is available out there for people to do training, and they just don't take the time and they don't know.
For example, the last 2 years, Les Dames d'Escoffier distributed $20,000 value of scholarship to, like last year, to about 14, 15 women.
Yeah.
So that's within BC. That's the BC.
Yeah, that's just us.
Wow.
And one of the things is, members, like I remember having people applying from other provinces, but they might come from other provinces, but they have to be BC.
Right.
Like, are working here, and they don't have to be from here and all that. But
right.
we won't, if somebody apply from Ontario, we won't sponsor them.
Right.
Because
they have to be growing the BC culinary world.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, Jonathan, you would be very envious of this. They also, one of the subgroups for a particular application is Two Rivers meets.
Oh, right.
And you get to go over there and spend a full day, and you get to break down a whole carcass.
Oh, wow.
And I know the young woman who got it last year, and she was so excited.
Wow.
But that's a very specialized one.
Right.
But, you know, you can imagine you know, how neat that would be. But it doesn't fall within the normal right. kind of thing.
No, absolutely.
It would be very special.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Well, I know that, I mean, we asked you to come on here just because we were interested in hearing more about it. I know that you're not here to necessarily solicit applications, but if somebody wants to apply, how do they go through that process?
They go on the website. It's okay. very clear. So they go there, they do the application process, and usually they have to explain what right. is their project, to do a little bio of right. like, you know, essay to and to have some sponsor of people who will support their okay. application. And it's pretty simple. And
sure.
And then usually we take application all year round. It's mm-hmm. review at the end of February to be decided in the middle of March, and distributed in April.
Okay. Yeah. Do you mind if we put a link up on the no, one underneath no, sure. for no. people to find you?
The other main, one of the main fundraising things that we're doing is called Summerdine, and okay. that's happening in mid-August. It's chosen for Julia Child's birthday oh. in honor. Last year it was at Blue Moon Winery here in the Valley. Mm-hmm. This year it's Providence Farm. It's totally sold out. it is a little bit different on the Lower Mainland and in the Okanagan than what we do here. Here we found what they do in Vancouver is that they have a particular table that's sold at a restaurant, one table, and it can be for two people, four people, six people, whatever. It's a set menu, a set price, and all the funds go back to Le Dam. Oh, wow. Well,
and the food is and all that is donated by the restaurant.
Right. Oh, yeah. So when they were talking about us being involved, we kind of went, well, that's really terrific, but who are we going to ask? And so what we said is we'd like to spin something a little bit different. We will do it on the same day as you. It's all one day.
Right.
But being the Valley, we wanted to do it as a luncheon, partly because we all have to drive distances, and we wanted right. to have it open. So we actually had a luncheon for 30 women in the Valley who all have a connection to food in some way.
Oh, yeah.
There were some people from the college. There were some people from the farmer's market. There were some of our students. There were some of the people that we've worked with over the years. And it was really awesome.
Nice.
This year, it's at Providence Farm, and they're going back to doing it in the evening because they felt that Providence Farm is in Duncan, and mm-hmm. it was a smaller area that they could do it that way
right.
better. And we will be down there.
Oh, yeah.
We will be volunteering. And it's...
And, yeah. and we have the support of VIU, who will help with their team yeah. to make the dinner and all that.
Yeah. So, which is nice. Wow. It's VIU that runs a program there. Yeah. yeah, so, and next year we hope to bring it back to the Valley. It's nice to have it kind of go back and forth.
Is it going
to
switch it back and forth?
It would be yeah. nice yeah. to yeah. do yeah. that nice. Way.
Because okay. now we have five members between Cowichan, Nanaimo, French Creek, and the Comox Valley. So we oh, wow. are the people who are, like, they helped us last year to do it here, mm-hmm. and this year we're helping them there.
Right.
And then in Victoria, they kind of like, because they used to do it run by restaurant also.
Right.
They thought it was very difficult. They like our model, so now they're going to do it no. at Seasider, and they do it the same day than us, but for lunch.
Oh, nice.
And they have 60 tickets, yep. I think. It's sold out also at Seasider, and it's going to be the same way, and then they're going to have different chef helping out yep. to do it and all
wow.
that.
So next year, if someone's interested, to definitely yeah. check out for tickets early yeah. in the
yeah.
year. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
any type of... hosting it, like last mm-hmm. year, Blue yep. Moon hosted it, and it really was great. It can be another place next
oh,
year.
So
and,
if yeah. someone's interested yeah, in absolutely. Hosting in yeah, the yeah, Comox yeah, Valley, yeah, definitely yeah. throw your name yeah. in the hat.
And then last...
I guess it's best to contact either one of the two
yeah,
of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and then we got last year a lot of donation for mm-hmm. the food and all that, so really almost all the sales and all the tickets and all that went for scholarship because
oh,
of the
fantastic.
Support of the community.
That's
it was
That's
really
great.
Yeah. yeah.
I do have a bit of a loaded question here, because.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, I was wondering, like, how do you feel the equality has turned into? This is what I'm saying. It's a little loaded.
Yeah.
In kitchens, has it changed?
No, I mean it's changed. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Is it equal 50-50? No.
Right.
Although in school, it's often more women now, which was not the case when I went to school, and maybe probably same. There's more women, indeed, in training, but in the industry, it's...
I think the shift actually, and I think what's going to happen is that the shift is that men are not going into it either.
Right.
It's not just women. Like, women went through the training and that, took one look at the kitchens, and it wasn't just the environment of being mostly male. It was also just the environment, as you know, the work hours, the time away from family, et cetera, all the things that we already know about, and basically made other choices.
Right.
And you'll find, like with the members of La Dame, what you'll find is a lot of them are caterers. They're running a culinary tour operation. Mm-hmm. They're in what you would consider an offshoot of the industry, and women have been leading in that direction. But I think that what's happening now is that men are starting to stand back and go, "I don't want to do that either."
Right.
And so, of course, this is making really wreaking havoc with restaurants.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately it may cause a massive shift because I think that the industry isn't going to have either anymore.
Right. It's interesting. John and I started framing out the next few episodes, and we are definitely going to be talking about chefs and chef shortages and what's changing in the industry right now.
And I think that men are starting to look at other alternatives, and they still want, they're still passionate about what they're doing, but you're finding them more in farmers markets. You're finding them doing the alternate thing because their family is as important to them as it would be to a woman.
Right.
And I think that that's what's changing.
Before there was only one way, like you jump in it and then you're, 90%, 90 hours a week and have no time for family life and all that.
Yeah.
And I think it might be something women brought to say, okay, there's more to...
More to life than just sitting behind a grill. And
I love doing it, but you need a balance.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that, you know, as, I mean, and we're now the senior members of this industry, is that I think that this is what's, the shift is being forced on us, but I think that it's a good shift. It's
And I see that in the industry and like
day-to-day.
with my own place there is that we've cut down a couple of days. We've closed for 2 days just because we're trying to protect our staff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can see it up and down this island that people are talking to guests that we've had. They're like, "Oh, I went to this place and I waited an hour and a half to get a meal, you know?" And it's like, well, it's probably because they used to have 4 people and now there's 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can only do so much. So it's a bit of it's going to be a bit of an issue. So
for myself personally, being involved with La Dame, what is really exciting is that when I go over to Vancouver and I look around the room and these are the women that I know I looked up to when I was learning and growing and that. And I think that that may be something that's different because prior to that, you would only be looking up to guys in the industry.
Right.
Whereas
when I
stand in that room, at least half of them, I know who they are. I don't need an introduction.
Right.
And that, for a woman, is very satisfying and very exciting.
Well, that's fantastic, yeah.
Because 25 years ago, the role model were men.
Yeah.
So now they start to have women in leadership position in the culinary world,
Well, I definitely got to give kudos to the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association. And I know, Leslie, you're still the president and still running that. And as she rolls her eyes, she goes, "Oh, my God." But you've definitely, when I started with the organization, it was a boys club. And and it wasn't that when I came in there that they wanted to be a boys club. It was just...
We
were the boys.
Yeah.
And I remember my first meeting I went to and I saw 4 of my chefs that I work with, a couple that I was currently working alongside and then slowly to see the organization progress. And I mean, I joined in 2005 and so that's only been...
What's the makeup now? Roughly how many men?
Well, Leslie would be the one to answer that.
It's actually, according to the national office, it's 50-50 pretty much.
Wow.
Yes. The demographic that I think, and the stats that I get from the national office that are really interesting is our age demographic. It's much older.
Really?
Yeah. And that is a little bit because we've got a lot of people coming into the industry who have, this is their second career.
Wow.
And so they've already understood the network pieces and stuff like that because they've usually been in something else. And so therefore they're coming into it and they're knowing that they want to be as involved as possible.
So, and the purely speculation or maybe it's naivety, but would you say that if it is about 50-50 men and women right now, that maybe we're like one generation where away from it being
even?
Yeah, even keel, equal.
I know. I think it's going to be longer than that.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be longer
really?
Than that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And part of that is just because of the hours, and even when you're changing things, I just don't think it can change that quickly.
Right.
I really don't.
Yeah.
You
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree to that for sure.
Because there's so many other things you can do.
Yeah.
You know. I think for guys, they're looking at it and going, you know, why shouldn't I be doing something else with the knowledge that I have instead of doing this?
There's also lots of different opportunities that weren't available out there. Mm-hmm. Like you talk about farmers markets and you talk about camp jobs and stuff like that.
And product development.
Yeah.
So this, well, that's really, I mean, I think we've done like 130 episodes on talking about all the different things you can do in the food industry. Like, like it's broad. There isn't just you're a farmer or you're a restaurateur now or whatever. There's
bits and lots of things.
Wow.
And I think that's what the generation coming up likes about it.
Yeah.
Is because it isn't a set thing. Mm-hmm. It's like you can go anywhere with it and you can do anything with it, whether it means traveling or it means just staying in your own backyard and doing multiple things.
Right. Yeah. Right. Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for all the things that you do, both individually and as a group. You know, you're very involved. Both of you are very involved with.
I think we should definitely do a recap for anyone who is interested. So a website to
www.ledam.ca. So that's the website on that where they talk about what is the purpose of the organization and also scholarships and also people who wants to support the organization. And so it's ledam.ca. So
okay. Great.
And do you guys want to give out any information if they can get a hold of you guys if they're interested, or definitely about scholarships if someone is interested in a scholarship?
That would be through the website.
Definitely go through the website. And so.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't want to drop your phone number here.
Another thing for the thing we're doing in Cowichan, because it's done not in our backyard, it's in the next backyard, we will also try to supplement what the fundraising we're doing with auction items, and we will have things from Oceanside, thing from the Comox Valley, and all that. So it's going to help to bring, you know, like... All that together and participate and have you know, some of our supporter here helping LEDAM with donation.
Perfect.
And I think that as far as, you know, filling out scholarship and that sort of thing, it's not difficult to find us.
Right.
Hang out at the farmer's market, you'll find us.
I was going to say, I think I run into you like at least once every couple of weeks, whether it's the farmer's market or wherever.
And we're always open to answering questions, like if you run into something and you're not sure about it or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
You can contact easily Leslie through North Vancouver Island Chef Association website or Facebook page, or myself to Island Gourmet Trail website or Facebook page.
Well, thanks so much for coming back again. You've been great guests every time. Thank you. thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.
Yes, definitely. We'd like to thank you for joining in again and listening to this episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. And we'd love to hear from you or send us any comments. Definitely send us to theediblevalley@gmail.com. Don't forget, we'd love for you to share, like, comment, subscribe. Just help us push out the message of all the wonderful things we have in our own Edible Valley. And definitely want to encourage you to go out and check out your own Edible Valley in your own communities. And we'd love to have any feedback you have about great products or wonderful people you've met in the food industry and that are making your meals out there. Definitely, Darren, we'd love to thank our sponsors, of course.
Yeah, of course. Always want to thank our sponsors, Atlas Cafe in Courtney, as well as the Butcher's Block. We have Ivan's Truffles, Kirsten Wood Music, and our newest sponsor, Blaine, of Beaufort Traditional Archery, all helping us along. And we definitely could not do it without Studio Live right here in Cumberland. So thanks, James, and Studio Live.
And we'd just like to thank you once again for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.